This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say.
Well, it's the biggest weekend of the wrestling year. This is Christmas, Thanksgiving, your birthday, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, and Cinco de Mayo all rolled up into one great big ball. Hello, everybody. It's Kevin Kelly here. It's the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. You can subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher, all the different ways you can find the show. You know how to do it, but placetobenation.com is our home. And there's no other place in the world that I would rather be. It is a very, very busy week. I apologize in advance for my voice. We had an amazing weekend in Ring of Honor because we hosted our, I've lost count. It's either our 15th or 16th tryout camp. And I mean, really, it's a teaching and evaluation camp. But it's so in-depth and so intense. And for 2 days, you know, I'm kind of working with I think we had like 37 wrestlers there, and I'm working in promos and producing and helping with all of that. And, you know, it's like two 14-hour days back to back, and they're just awesome fun. Talking about guests, talking about tryouts, talking about Ring of Honor, our guest will be Moose. He was an NFL star. He was a collegiate football star, but he decided to walk away. And because he had a passion for professional wrestling. And I thought in the wake of Scott Borland and everything that's going on in the NFL, plus the way Moose's wrestling career in Ring of Honor has taken off, I thought that this would be the perfect time to talk to him, because I think he can give us perspective on both his rising wrestling career, but also what's going through the mind of NFL players who walk away from the game. Are they quitters? I think we can have a lot of fun too. Moose is a cool dude, and we'll be talking with him here in a little bit. Our producer extraordinaire is Justin Rosero. Justin, how are you preparing for WrestleMania?
Blarg. Not sleeping. Ready to go. Ready to talk to Moose. Go to bed.
And this is not because you are on some drinking binge or your band is putting together their first record. This is because you have a new baby.
Yeah, I have a new baby, and he's not the problem. He's actually been okay. Not overnight. Overnight, he's been a little bit of a fuss, but it's actually my daughter, who's a little bit older, who's being the real pain tonight, and the last few nights not wanting to go to bed, so that's been, you know, a lot of back and forth, trying to get her down, trying to keep him busy, and then my wife's feeding him, and I'm trying to get her to bed and delaying everything, and I just want to do this and then pass out, and just, you know, one of those things, parent problems.
It's a, but you know what? It's something that everybody can relate to. So we'll get through this as best we can.
Okay.
Now I know, of course, in years past, WrestleMania has been the preeminent event on the wrestling calendar.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it certainly is the biggest and most talked about event. But are you really looking forward to WrestleMania this year?
I am. I always do, because of everything that goes along with it. It's a fun weekend, especially the network now, where the Hall of Fame will be televised in its entirety on the network again like last year. Get to hear all the reports of the indie shows going on. And just having experienced the whole weekend a couple years ago in New York was a ton of fun. So I know how much fun it is for everyone, regardless of the card quality, because the one I saw obviously was a lesser quality card. And I actually think this card on paper isn't that bad. Like, I think the matches will be fine. It's just that everyone's so angsty about the main event and worried that it's not going to be very good and pissed about Reigns and everything else. That seems to be taking a little bit of piss out of the excitement. And I think last year's was so fulfilling that everyone's just assuming this year is going to be a real downer. But I think even compared to the last few years on paper, it's not that bad of a card.
I think it's surprisingly strong.
Mm.
But I just
don't act like it's WrestleMania 13, like we talked about on the Rewind series last week,
which was really entertaining to go back. I don't, but even there, I kind of felt like going in that there was one match that was going to be great. And of course, Austin versus Bret Hart, nobody could have ever predicted how great that match was at WrestleMania 13. And I invite everybody to go seek that that rewind out. Go to placetobenation.com. And we did a WrestleMania rewind for WrestleMania 13. We recorded it last week. It was myself, JR, Ben Morris, and Roger Morissette. And we just had a great, great discussion breaking down all the matches and talking about everything that was related to the card, which some people say was the worst WrestleMania, and other people say, and maybe the same person in the same sentence would say, but it had the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So there was a lot of stuff to dive into in a topsy-turvy time for the industry as it was getting ready to head into the guts of the Attitude Era. But here this week, we'll talk to Moose in a few minutes as so much preparation for the big Mania week is going on now. Where will you be? I can tell you what I'm going to be doing this Sunday. We are revisiting tradition here with my family, and we are venturing. I used to live next door to a guy, but now I live 2.5 hours away from him. So I'm going to go visit my old next door neighbor 2.5 hours away, and we're going to watch WrestleMania together and have like a little party. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. What are you doing?
So you're not going to California? Is it not taped to that show? Is it just like a house show? The Ring of Honor stuff?
Yeah, I am going to I'm gonna record the VO in post.
Okay.
And
sorry to blow up your spot here.
No, it's no blow up at all. In fact, that's a good reminder because Supercard of Honor is this Saturday, and it's gonna be ginormous. And then we're gonna be very quickly calling the matches on Monday, and the hope is that maybe we can get the whole thing up on VOD on the website at ROHWrestling.com by Tuesday.
Okay.
Because this is Samoa Joe's opportunity at the world title in Jay Briscoe.
Right.
So we are going to do everything we can at Ring of Honor to effort that footage back across the country and then get it onto the site as quickly as possible. But it's going to be a remarkable event Saturday. There's so many things to go on. You know, in addition to the big Mania show and the Hall of Fame, and you have all the other sights and sounds of Northern California, plus all the other wrestling things that are going on.
Yeah, tons going on.
It's what a fantastic treat for the fans. That's why it bothered me a little bit that reports were that WWE was trying to shut down some of that extra activity.
Yeah.
And make it difficult for other promoters to get buildings or whatever. This is the fans' vacation. They're going to come out and they're going to spend thousands of dollars. They're not going to spend any less at WWE because they went and spent money at other things. They're just going to have a bigger budget.
Right.
So instead of budgeting, say, $2,000 to go to the WrestleMania thing, hotel, airfare, tickets, food, whatever, maybe they're going to throw an extra $500 in. They'll save a little extra so that they can get tickets to, an independent show, or they could go see this or go see that, stay an extra day or two. I don't see the harm. So
no, me neither. And now they're also running NXT, which has a lot of people that are going to make the trip out or really excited about as well. So,
And I think that's going to be good. Apparently, and there's some rumor that the NXT there's going to be a some sort of NXT thing that happens as part of Access.
Yes, and the winner gets into the Battle Royal.
Gets into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I go Bull Dempsey. What do you think?
No, I think it's Adrian Neville. I think he wins this and then he moves up. Yeah, I think he moves up for good after that.
Okay. I just give I give only because it's a Battle Royal. That was my first thought was Neville, because his time is now. But then I thought, well, what if they did something with Dempsey just because he's sort of that big guy and big guys, historically battle royals, that type of deal. I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm outdated. Cool. Maybe Neville does a crazy elimination, or like he eliminates someone and then dives out on top of them, something wild. And then Then he has a match the next night on Raw.
It would certainly put him on the map right away. So this is great. This is the way to use the NXT brand.
Yeah, definitely.
You're getting more exposure for the brand by putting the people in place that they've put in place. And, you know, there's no doubt that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and Neville and I forget Kenta's name. Hideo Itami, right?
Yes, yep, Itami. Yeah.
There's no doubt that those guys, you know, and both Owens and Sami Zayn nicked up right now, and that happens. But those guys are draws. The rest of the cast, you know, along with Charlotte and Sasha and the girls and Bayley, they all bust their butt and their attractions, and it makes it a very entertaining show. So there's no reason, no doubt that those guys sell tickets. But this is how you elevate guys. You integrate them into your show, the bigger show. And I think it can continue. You know, I was thinking this weekend, you know, what if NXT is really serious about putting Ring of Honor out of business, if they are, I'm just saying, could be very good for the fans. You know, like imagine if they really went into like some Ring of Honor towns and put Daniel Bryan on some shows, they could really intensify things. I think that would be fun. All right, so that would be some interesting stuff, no doubt about it. But that, yeah, of course, won't be for a while. But
who would have thought WWE would indirectly maybe lead? Well, I mean, I think the indies were kind of in a renaissance anyway. But who would have thought WWE would be part of that whole wave? It's kind of crazy.
We'll see. We'll see if they are. But it was something that a couple of us were kicking around this weekend, and it's like, hey, what if? What if they really decided to do it? You know, and of course they're trying to maximize the dollar. But the reason I think we started to think about that was if they're wanting to shut, smaller companies out from WrestleMania, why not try to shut them out every other day of the year? I don't know if that's what their mindset is, but because a part of me then says, well, they must see value in the indies because that's where they get their guys from. So we'll see what happens, but it won't happen tomorrow. But, of course, this Sunday being WrestleMania, let's, JR, if you got the card handy, let's take a peek. Let's run down some of the matches, and we'll just, you know, we'll give some quick thoughts. We've talked a little bit about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. It did so much for Cesaro last year.
Right? I know. The peak. All right, let's start here in reverse order of how they listed on the website. So we got Randy Orton battling Seth Rollins, of course, after the kind of slow build and slow burn after Orton's return. Finally turned on Rollins and the Authority, and that sets up their match here at Mania. I like Rollins. I think Orton's dominated the feud pretty much the whole way through. I think Rollins needs to win way more than he does, so I think Seth takes this one. What do you think?
I totally agree, and I think that they're going to just nothing will be settled here with this, but I think this will be a good match. This might be the Cast of Thousands match. We'll see.
I think it has potential for sleeper match of the night, honestly. I mean, Orton always delivers in these spots, and Rollins is excellent. So I think there's a very good chance this ends up being the best match, or at least most entertaining match of the night, depending on how the ladder match goes.
Right, and depending on what they get for time. But yeah, it you know, sometimes it's like, okay, here's the box of toys, kids. Now, each kid gets one toy, and some kid's going to get the broken one. Some kid's going to get the really good toy, but he got to pick first. So that's your main event. And then, you know, as you start to filter through, there's not a lot of good toys left. So we'll see what Orton and Seth Rollins draw and what they're able to work with this Sunday.
All right. We have the Divas matchup next. Paige and AJ teaming up to take on the Bella Twins. Who do you like here, Kev?
I like visiting with my friends during this match. This is my time to go have a slice of cake, maybe another helping of dinner, whatever it might be.
Really?
This is when up.
I feel like this is the best case scenario, though, that we could have got. I mean, outside of maybe just Paige AJ or bringing up one of the NXT girls like Sasha or Charlotte.
If the NXT girls would have come up and if they would have given the opportunity to recreate the match that they did on the NXT special, I would be interested. I'm not interested in this because I feel like I could see this any Monday on Raw.
That's true. Although, well, yeah. I mean, Paige and AJ teaming up, I think, is the hook. I think they probably win. And I'm guessing one of them pins Nikki to set up the next title feud. That'd be my guess.
I don't think it, okay, over under guesstimate on how many days beyond WrestleMania AJ is still employed by the company.
I think her contract is up in the summer, I thought I had read. So I'd guess then. I think like June or July I read that her deal was up. So.
And they don't fire people. They just let their contracts run out. So.
Right. Yeah, they probably would run into some legal issues if they tried to fire her, because Punk would probably, they'd probably say, oh, you're only doing it because you're mad at him and all this other stuff. So I'm guessing they'll let her quietly expire and her contract anyway. And I don't know. Maybe she lays down here. I don't know.
I think she should. If they're not going to build around her, then she's got to put people over on the way out. So that'd be nice. I'd like that. We'll see what happens.
All right. Up next is our big United States Championship match, John Cena and Rusev. Of course, poor Lana, been off filming a movie, may not even be here at Mania. They put out some cool videos of Rusev training, preparing for this match. Still undefeated, pretty much, if you ignore that one odd count-out loss he had last summer. He, of course, beat Cena at Fastlane, and the rumors out there, Kevin, swirling around the internet, is that John Cena and another guy we'll get to in a minute are going to be taking the undercard titles because Brock Lesnar will be staying and retaining the world title. That's one of the rumors that's out there now. So do you believe that, or do you look at the other way and say, no, Reigns is definitely winning, and Rusev seemingly would be the guy they want to keep undefeated and strong to feed to Reigns to help build him up? If Cena wins, to me, and then Reigns wins, it seems really counterproductive. It almost feels like Hogan and Warrior in 90, where Warrior had no heel contenders because Hogan had eviscerated them all leading up to Mania. I feel like a Cena win here takes the starch out of Rusev and would kind of kill off a prime contender for Reigns. So this match may really tip who's going to win the main event in some ways. What do you think? Does Cena win, LOL, or does Rusev get the Duke?
I think Cena does get his hand raised. I read the same scenario that you did last week. And I was interested. I really was interested. I think Triple H is a fan of this scenario. Triple H is the guy who I think wanted to have that traveling world champion and have him be an attraction. I'm also leery of the Hogan Warrior scenario that you just pointed out, because that is the worst case scenario. We'll see what happens. I'm more leaning towards the Hogan Warrior scenario, only because Cena winning is always viewed as a good thing, and it's always short-term good things with WWE, and sometimes they forget the long-term for the short-term gain. They want the moment with Cena at Mania, of course.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the other rumors that have been out there for a while is that Vince finally wants to taper him down and make him that Babe Ruth, that legend that he always wants to have on hand, where he isn't the main guy. He's just kind of in these mid-card feuds, take some time off here and there. I mean, if Reigns is going to win, to me it makes zero sense for Cena to win this match. Just none. There's no good that could come of it to kill off maybe your only potential, we'll talk about one other one, but your only potential heel contender for Reigns. I mean, you can do Reigns and Kane. Reigns a big shit. You can't do that. Just can't. So you need a guy like Rusev to stay strong, to stay undefeated, and then Reigns can be the guy that knocks him off. You know, that makes perfect sense. Cena can't do what Reigns does.
Okay, so you're focusing more on wins and losses, or you're focusing on attractions? I don't get a strong feeling from Rusev. A win over Cena...
It's more that he's undefeated, and that John Cena had two cracks at him and couldn't beat him. So Reigns is the man that beats him. He does what John Cena couldn't. You transition that position of strength to Reigns. Now he's the kingpin of the WWE, because he stopped this big Russian monster that not even John Cena could take care of. And he slayed Brock Lesnar. So now he's taking down two guys that Cena couldn't do.
True. And that's a really good argument, but I think the eye test just says that while Rusev is very good and has come a long way, that Lana is the star. She's the star. And I just think that the eye test for the casual fan and ultimately for Vince McMahon is that while Rusev is good, he's not as good as those other guys. So I think he's going to be the guy who makes the guy. He's not going to be the guy.
Right, but the guy that
and
he needs to make
him
is
being
Reigns.
The guy who gets past Cena, because then he's viewed as the guy who can make that guy better. I think I don't see him with that ceiling. I put him maybe fourth in that ranking.
Any chance to do a schmoz?
With
Cena gets DQ'd or something?
Sure. You could always stretch it out another month. You don't need to settle it here. I think a part of it is the Cena moment, Mania, hand raise title.
You don't think they view what they did last year as a little bit of a mistake, or they kind of look at that and say, all right, you know, we had a chance to put Bray over and we kind of fucked that up. Here's our chance again. Are we going to screw it up again?
That's, you know, but do they view, is the long money in retrospect on Bray Wyatt or Rusev? Other people are higher on Rusev than I am, and I get that. I'm not as high on him. Lana is the star.
I don't think it's even long money, though. I think it's just a month or two. You know what I mean? Like, just be seen as the Apollo Creed to Reigns as Rocky. You know what I mean? He's laying down.
Sure.
So but Reigns can knock. I don't think that means Rusev is their long term champ or main guy. But you need someone for Reigns to fight. And I think an undefeated Rusev makes much more sense than a guy coming off a loss to John Cena.
Okay. I do see that point. I don't know if it's the best matchup for Reigns. I think you're going to have some challenges, but we could shuffle some things around. Mm-hmm. You've always got Seth Rollins right there. That's one of the reasons why I think Seth prevails, is because I think they could really go to him and Reigns after this is over, win or lose for Reigns. But I just think that might be a better matchup for Reigns. I just don't see it in Rusev. I see it in Lana, though. I think everybody sees it in Lana. There's no doubt there. Were there some pictures floating around about her? What's going on there?
Well, I know she's doing a movie. You mean that with those? She's in
No. These are pictures that are NSFW.
Yeah, no, those are legit from before her time in the company.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Hachimachi, right?
Hachimachi. We haven't had a Hachimachi in a while.
Well, it's easy to get Maria back on the show. All right, so get through the rest of this card. So we mentioned Bray Wyatt. And, of course, he will be battling The Undertaker. And a little sneak preview, Kev. If you go to PlaceToBeNation.com later this week, I did a piece on what kind of dings Undertaker's legacy more here, a win or a loss. I'll let you decide the outcome of that. But I think of all the building they've done for Bray Wyatt and reestablishing him as a player, feeding him to The Undertaker is so, so counterproductive. And just another guy that they could have built up and ready to fight with Reigns or whoever else, and a homegrown guy, a talented guy, losing to a crippled, broken-down Undertaker. I mean, how do you come back from that, realistically? It's like last year when Taker kept getting up from the F5, and we're sitting there thinking, oh, God, he's going to beat Brock fucking Lesnar, The Undertaker. This guy can't even walk. And now you're going to have him come out here and beat this young stud who's had big wins across the board and has finally kind of rehabbed after that loss to Cena last year, and he's right back where he needs to be, and now you're going to job him to the 60-year-old Undertaker. You can't, right? I know they're going to, but you can't.
You can't do it. You can't do it, and I don't think they will. I don't think they will. When they first announced the match, and I was like, well, they're just going to feed, well, so much for that. They're just going to feed, Bray to Taker. But now I'm not so sure. But Bray's had all the TV time, and in the WWE world, that means Taker's getting the hand raised. Whether or not you agree with the finish or not, will this be the Undertaker's last WrestleMania match? Yes or no?
No, I think they're going to try and drag him out for one more in Dallas next year. I mean, at some point they have to do him in Cena, right? I mean, they've never done it, so I don't know. Did they let that go by the board? I guess they could, but I don't know. Sting does a good job. Maybe they try and go to the well. Maybe something with Kane. I feel like he'll be involved next year in some way, and then that'll be it. Unless, this match just busts him down and he breaks a hip or something crazy. And
right.
And he can't compete anymore.
Next year, Dallas, Hall of Fame, and
some final moment. Even if they do a tag match with him and Kane, and they retire together, something like that.
Reunite the Brothers of Destruction. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, just do something like that. Because now that the streaks are gone, you can do tag matches. You can do whatever you want. I mean,
I just got a text from our guest, from Moose. His plane has landed.
Okay, very good.
We'll get to him in just a couple minutes. I just want to let you know.
All right, let's go to the last few matches here then.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Intercontinental Title ladder match. Wade Barrett defending against R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, and Daniel Bryan. And title be held up above the ladder, of course, kind of replacing the old Money in the Banks here at WrestleMania. Do you like what they did here? Do you feel like it's a waste of these guys? Do you think it's lazy booking? Could they have done something else? And then who do you think's going to win?
I think it's. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's too many guys. I don't think R-Truth should be in there. Nothing against him. I love the guy. And because I just don't give him any chance of winning. I don't give Stardust any chance of winning. But as far as Barrett and the others, hell yeah. I think it's going to be great. I think Barrett walks out still with the title. I think there's something really... He showed me something a couple of weeks ago I'd never seen from him before when they did that, when R-Truth had stolen the belt and held it behind his back and did the switcheroo around a bunch of times. I liked the way Barrett came out in the end. It's the only thing that scares me that says he won't win. But yeah, I saw that fire in him that, you know, just he grabbed me for the first time in a long time. And yeah, he's had the injury bug. But there's something really, really good about him right now. So I could see them giving him the ball, letting him run, especially if Cena wins.
Yeah, I love Barrett. I don't think he's going to win here, not with all these other guys in the match. I mean, a guy that really needs to win is probably Ambrose the most. I don't think he wins it, though. I think they're going to give it to Bryan. I think they're going to look at this as, well, you know, sorry we killed our enthusiasm for Bryan, but we're going to give him this title. And, you know, there's been rumors that he's going to be kind of SmackDown's ace. After Mania, they might not do a true brand split, but they might kind of do one. So I think even if Brock doesn't retain, I think maybe the Bryan Cena thing is possible. So I think Bryan wins this. I think he's the chalk in this match. I think Ziggler's an outside shot, but I think they're pissed off at him. You know, Harper I like a lot. I don't see him, Cody, or Truth winning, though.
That's awesome sauce. All right.
I don't think Barrett wins. I think my choice would be one of the three, either Ambrose, Dolph, or Bryan.
Is it? I think this is a faces up night, especially if they go another direction, depending on the direction of the main event, and with Taker. I think everybody else, I think it could be a night for the good guys. You know, possibly. We'll see. We will see.
Who wins the Battle Royal?
I think Andre the Giant himself will come back from the grave, and he will be the one to eliminate everyone in the Battle Royal. I'm not sure. This is almost one of those pull a name out of a hat things, right? Kind of like the Rumble, you get a number. You know, we know all the entrants.
Yeah.
Pull a name out, and there's your winner. And you win a soda if you get to, hey, my guy won.
I think Ryback, what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they've been doing some good stuff with him. You know, how many lives do you have in the WWE?
A million.
Yeah. So just when everybody writes him off, then he starts to come back a little bit. Maybe Mark Henry.
Possibly.
You know, give Henry the rub on his way out, so.
All right, let's get to these last two because I don't want to keep our guest waiting any longer here. I know he's banging on the door of the plane. Sting makes his long-awaited WWE debut in ring. He was on Raw tonight. He spoke, of course, to the day of the WCW purchase back in 2001, battling the game, Triple H. I think Sting wins this. I don't think there's even a question here.
I would agree with you, but it's I see good either way. But I think the way that Triple H sort of dominated everything, I think Sting's up. Agreed.
All right, our main event, Brock Lesnar defending the title against Roman Reigns. Two quick questions for you. Three. Is Reigns, did they deliver a good match?
Yes.
Brock? Okay. Does Brock re-sign and retain?
If I'm doing this, it's, you know, it kind of goes back to the pros and cons and the blank sheet of paper. Pros for Reigns winning, pros for Brock retaining. There are 1,000 pros for Brock and very few for Reigns. The pros for keeping Brock. I can't see too many bad things by keeping Brock Lesnar. So I think they have to do both. They have to find a way to come up with some sort of common ground and bring
bring everybody together so that they could come up with a deal that everybody can live with, so that Brock Lesnar not only stays in the company but gets to maintain his schedule and his lifestyle, but also can also be the World Wrestling Federation Entertainment Champion. And I think it's going to be a very good match. I think it's going to be a terrific match, actually.
And I don't think Reigns would be hurt by a loss. I mean, I think he could be. It's Brock Lesnar. He's destroyed everyone. I think Reigns could shake it off and bounce back later in the year. My third question to you is, does Seth Rollins cash in tonight, on this night?
Have they... They've never mucked up the WrestleMania main event with a cash in, right? They've
Correct.
Done them the night after.
Yep. And there's multiple possibilities, right? One is, I mean, they've been teasing a lot of Heyman turning too. So you could see Reigns turn. Heyman turns, helps Reigns win, and that's it. You could see Reigns win. Rollins comes out. You know, Brock had beaten Reigns to the point where Rollins comes out and Heyman goes with him. And he wins the title from Reigns. You know, there's multiple ways it could go. Or Brock beats them both. I mean, that's possible too. Beats Reigns, and Rollins comes out. He beats him too. I mean, there's a few avenues they can go, which is cool, because a lot of people that have been bitching about this match or this idea or have been complaining about the obvious nature of it, that Reigns is just going to win and it's not really a WrestleMania event. But I think there are a lot of possibilities. I don't think it's a given at all that Brock Lesnar is going to lose this match.
I agree. I think all of those scenarios, or at least some combination of them, probably several more, have been talked about. So that, to me, says that it's not as such a done deal as everyone would say. Sometimes the WrestleMania main events are very easy meetings, folks. Sometimes it's Steve Austin's winning. Next. There wasn't much to do with Austin versus Shawn Michaels, for example, because Shawn was dropping the belt. It only became a day of question when whether or not Shawn was actually going to get in the ring and Shawn was going to do business. That wasn't really a meeting. That was just Taker taking it upon himself to just sit right here and keep an eye on things, you know, just in case. It's a, they got to make the right decision. They got to do the right thing. And I think they will. I think they'll figure out, I think Brock Lesnar can be the star that they want him to be, and they can find a way to make him happy with the schedule. But that's this Sunday. That's WrestleMania. I know Jarrah and I will be watching it, and it'll be a great time. Jarrah will probably be sleeping after the baby goes down. He'll doze off.
We passed out my wings at Boneheads.
That's right. Will you actually, are you, that was the other question I wanted to ask you. Are you eating in at Boneheads, or are you taking out and bringing it home?
I'll be at Bobby Cruz's favorite table at Boneheads. We have a group of 10 of us going. We're going to have our table reserved, front row, ready to eat some wings, eat some food, and not some nachos, and watch WrestleMania.
Hey, Bobby, listen, he's a hot-tempered guy.
I know. That's why I don't take his tweets seriously.
Well,
this guy gets pissed off about everything.
He's a very pissed-off man. Okay, so let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Moose is going to join us. Ring of Honor star. He's unbeaten so far. And we'll talk about his transition from the NFL into professional wrestling. We'll get his thoughts about the NFL and more with Moose as we continue here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including the main event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We featured The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And, of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
with the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
The cash in the purse, guns blast in the hearse, a vast universe when the last is the first, the past been the curse. I need some aspirin, a nurse. It's your cash getting hurt, but why ask when it hurts? A passionate verse, so some last minute work.
Okay, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show in the Place to Be Nation. And boy, in all the episodes that we've had, and we've had athletes and sports stars, and I've had some great announcers here on the show, but you know, Sean Grandy and Dale Arnold. Two guys with Boston roots who called some games while my guest at this time was part of the Patriots. And that is, you knew him, if you were a fan of Syracuse, you saw Quinn Ojanaka playing on the Orangemen. Then, of course, you know, going to the NFL, fifth-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons, also played for the Rams and the Patriots, but then decided to get into professional wrestling. And he is Moose, and he is a star of the highest order, and he's unbeaten so far in Ring of Honor. And Moose, welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here. I know you're one of the guys who always supported me, and thanks for having me on your show, man.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great first impression. I saw you at a tryout camp in 2013, and I looked at you, and I was like, man, shit's on today. Look at the size of this fella. And I think I threatened to punch you or something like that real quick. And we had some laughs. And I was like, all right, this cat gets it. He's going to be good. And then I saw you in the promo room, and you blew my mind. And then I saw you in the ring, and you blew my mind again. And I'm not the decision maker. I'm just part of the sort of team that you know, my opinion might be heard. But boy, it was a pretty easy sell, wasn't it? Hey, I think this guy's a star. I think he deserves an opportunity here in Ring of Honor. And we gave you the ball, and man, you've run with it. So I couldn't be happier with the way things have worked out.
All right, thanks for the kind words. And talking about the camp, it was a great showing this weekend, huh?
Yeah, you came up to the. We had another great camp. And all of them have been good. This one particularly stood out in my mind. It's at least 15 that we've done. And Moose was there. He's already got a job. He's got a contract, okay? But he came up on his own dime because, well, why did you come up this weekend on your own dime?
It's easy to get to get better. One thing that I realized from the first camp that I came to is more than just searching for a job. It's what you learn from the actual camp. And some of the guys that was there in the panel that you get to listen to and get advice from, that is a feeling that, or experience that you can't, when you can't buy, you know what I'm saying? So for me, that get a chance to come listen to those guys and to help me get better at my craft, I mean, why not? Yeah, so I was a big fan of high school, and for some weird reason, I thought my biggest fan, I mean, I was a big fan of Razor Ramon, and I was so much of a big fan of him, I actually acted and dressed like him. Had the gold chain, had the
You had the toothpick, you'd flick the toothpick, you're oozing machismo, you got the chains on, you'd pick dudes up for the razor's edge, you had it going on, right?
I had it going on. I thought I was a black razor more, that's just it. Like, nobody can tell me anything. Like, nobody. I mean, guys used to make fun of me all the time. It didn't matter. I thought I was cool, and that's all that mattered, that I was the coolest kid in my class. That's all I cared about.
Were you did you hit like a growth spurt? Like Caprice was telling us at the camp this weekend that he was 125 pounds when he graduated high school. Or were you a big dude in high school coming up?
No, I was actually a short, fat, chubby kid in high school. That's weird. It's weird. My sophomore year in high school, I probably was like 6'2", 250. And I played basketball. I was good at basketball. Wasn't really good at football. Never even played football. My junior year of high school, I was 6'4". I didn't grow a bunch. I was 6'4", probably 240. I grew a couple of inches and balls. Like, stretched my fat out pretty much. And that's when I decided to play football. And the only reason I decided to play football was because all my buddies played it. And after school, or while all my boys were in practice, I was kind of like sitting there like with nothing to do. You know, so I was like, you know what? Maybe if I play football, I get to hang out with my friends more. That's the only reason why I did it. Luckily, I got a few scholarship offers from Syracuse and Virginia Tech and Florida State, and the list goes on. So I couldn't tell my mom, oh, I'm not going to take the scholarship offer because I want to be a wrestler, because she would have killed me. She would kick me out of the house. So it was a way to go to college for free. So I was like, you know what? I'll hold off on wrestling for now. Let me go ahead and go to college, play football, get an education, and maybe after college I will start the whole football thing over. Well, my senior year, I started to, and plus, while I was in college, I never really took football serious. I just did it more for the education, because I never really liked football. So, but my senior year, I got a phone call from, I guess you could call him an agent, going to my senior year, and he was telling me, oh, man, yeah, you're pretty good. You can get drafted in the third or fourth round or whatever. And that's when I started taking football serious. I was like, oh, man, I could play in the NFL and take a lot of money. So I took football a little bit more serious. And I got drafted. Now, while I was in the NFL, my whole mindset was, okay, when am I going to quit? So I don't want to, I beat up my body too fast from all the fitness, all the practice.
You speak to somebody, Moose is leaving the Atlanta airport now, folks. That's why you're hearing the horns honking. You're being told you're going to be a mid-round draft pick, 3, 4, 5, somewhere like that. And you're thinking, now I can be in the NFL. But there's a part of you that's also saying, I don't want to beat up my body so bad, even though I'd like making some money. I don't want to beat up my body so bad so I could get into wrestling. Like, you never let go this wrestling dream.
No, never let it go. It was always in my mind that I was going to be a wrestler. The only issue was I didn't know when to start that pursue it. Like, the one year I thought I was going to pursue it, I actually was in 2011. I got picked up by the Rams, and I was released by the Rams after, like, 3 weeks or whatever. So I came home, and I found WWA4 in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, what happened was 2 weeks into me training, I got a phone call from the Indianapolis Colts, and they offered me a one-year contract. And everything in me wanted to turn that down so I could continue wrestling. But when you see $980,000, or we'll pay you $980,000, or whatever the price was, it's kind of hard to say no to that, you know? So I talked to my wife at the time, and I was like, hey, I do want to wrestle, but you know, it's like they offered me a lot of money. I can't turn it down. Oh, it's hard for me to say no to it. So, you know what? Let me put wrestling on hold for another year, and let's see what happens. So I signed a deal with the coach, played a year out. The following year, I signed a deal with the Rams. Now, one of the reasons that I decided that I thought this was the best year for me to quit and start pursue the dream. Me and my wife were going through a bunch of stuff that year, and I was afraid to go by myself, and she was in Atlanta by herself, and it was looking like, okay, this was going to end. So I was already stressed out from that situation, and me being in St. Louis by myself, I wasn't really caring up too much about football. I mean, I really never did anyway, but right now, everybody can see that, okay, Quinn's head is not really in it, you know?
Yeah, you had like a double whammy distraction because, you know, when a marriage is falling apart or is at least in turmoil, that's going to distract you from whatever it is that you do. And if you've got this gnawing desire to get into wrestling, you know, I know I stayed with, I kind of relate because I stayed with the WWF long after I wanted to because of the money. And if I would have walked away from it, instead of waiting for them to, you know, play out the string and say, okay, Kevin, we're done. If I would have walked away, I think I might have felt better, but I couldn't because of financial pressures, because of money. And, you know, I probably would have been happier if I would have just done what I wanted to do, but
it was one of those situations where, like, the coaches knew it, Jeff Fisher knew it, my head wasn't in it. A good friend of mine, Paul Boudreau, he was my offensive line coach, he even knew it. And the funny, crazy thing about it, I was a starting left guard with the Rams, and my head just wasn't in it. Like, and I think it was even bad that I was on the same team with James Laurinaitis. And that's probably the best thing that could have happened to get me to quit, if that even makes sense. Because James loves football, and his passion for football is so strong. And I wish I had that, but I had it for wrestling. I just didn't have it for football. And all I would talk about in the locker room with James is wrestling. That's all we would talk about all day long. And he probably got tired of me even coming up to him talking about wrestling. But it was just one of those things where being on the same team with him made me even want to quit more because it made my passion for wrestling even stronger because at least I had a guy that was in the wrestling family that I could talk to about wrestling, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, me and the guys were hanging out Saturday night, and you did the same thing, and we've done the same thing before. Get done, go to eat, hang out, talk about wrestling, and by the time you know it, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, but you're there with your brothers and you're hanging out and you're having a good time. But this is what you want to do. This is your passion. This is your life. You can't see yourself. Can't see you doing anything else right now.
Right. So long story short, I end up getting released by the Rams, and I want to say early November of 2012, and I went. Packed my stuff, came back home to Atlanta, went back to WWE for a ton of training hard. And I think maybe less than 10 days after I got released, the Buffalo Bills called me, offered me another contract. And I actually had the guts to say no. I was like, hey, you know what? I think I'm done, at least for now. I have no passion. I have my passion life elsewhere. I'm going to try to fulfill that. And they understood. I mean, I guess they had no choice what to understand. But, and that's how the wrestler started.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk with Moose about, and we saw each other at the tryout camp this weekend, you know, for hopefuls, and really it's a teaching and evaluation camp, and Moose was there on his own dime to get just some more experience and to pick the brains of those that know more than him, because he's really just beginning on his wrestling journey. It's been going really great so far, but I mentioned Scott Borland to him because, you know, San Francisco 49ers linebacker, he was a rookie, he was I think a third round pick. He wound up just having a great rookie season coming out of nowhere and shocked a lot of people by retiring, just saying he didn't want to play. He was concerned about, you know, concussion related effects from afterward and CTE and things like that. And really, it's kind of the third named guy who walked away. Jake Locker, he walked away. And I know that Jason Worlds from the Pittsburgh Steelers walked away. And there was the other linebacker for the 49ers whose name escapes me right now, but he was an all-pro, and I
Patrick
should remember
Willis.
Him. Yeah, Willis. He retired 8 years. He had put his time in. But where is that? I mean, how rare a thing is this? Because you walked away from the game because your passion was with wrestling. Borland walks away because of concern of injury. I don't know why Locker or Worlds walked away from their teams. I don't know why Patrick Willis really hung it up. You know, could have been injuries, could have been just his time, but all of them under, you know, 30 years old. What causes that? What is it? Is it a fear? Is it a lack of love? Is it no heart? As so many critics have said, what do you think about all this?
I don't think that no heart has anything to do with somebody deciding they don't want to play football. You know what I'm saying? Me and you, we've had this conversation before in the past. There is more than 50% of guys in the NFL who don't like football, but they love the money football brings them. So, and I mean, there's guys like myself who, after a while, money doesn't mean anything to me. So, why instead to try to make it? And in that guy's case, I mean, it could have been health reasons. It could have been something else. I mean, maybe he just blamed it on health reasons. But I have all the respect in the world for him for giving up.
I saw a lot of hate, especially from fans on social media towards Borland, and I don't understand it at all. I thought Maurice Claret had something to say last week, and he talked about like how socioeconomic factors relate to whether or not guys stay in the game, and it kind of is the same thing that you're saying. They may not love it, but they're playing for the money. So
right, there's a bunch of guys that do that. I personally know a bunch of guys who play just for the money. I mean, that's just what it is. Football, I think football in the NFL becomes, when you get, I think the NFL makes guys lose love, whatever love or passion they have for football when you get there. You understand, when you get to the NFL, you're in a locker room with guys who are older than you, guys who could be your dad. Like you, for instance, you get drafted, you're 20, 21 years old. They got in that locker room at 30, 33, have a family of their own. And, you know what I'm saying? It's not like high school where all you guys are the same age and all you guys are buddies and after the game, you know, go hang out to house party or whatever. It's like doing college, but all you guys are the same age. Football becomes more of a job. And it's a stressful job at that point, man. That stress could bring so much depression and sadness and sickness, even though you're making a lot of money. And a lot of guys go through that because the money is great. But like myself and some of the guys you just mentioned don't care about the money and have passion than anything else, so just want to see something else. That's the reason why guys like us give up on it. And I commend the guy from San Fran who did it. I mean, and like you said, people are going to hate. Nobody's ever going to be happy. Like, you should see my Twitter when like people heard that I was a wrestler now. Hate what people said. I mean, people are gonna hate.
Oh, I bet. You know, and what they don't know is they don't know you. And they don't know that this was who you wanted to be and you would have done it, except your parents wouldn't have gone for it.
Right. If I would have told my mom, hey, mom, I just got a scholarship to Syracuse, but I'm going to pass on this because I want to be a professional wrestler, I would have been living outside. I would have kicked, beat out the house with all my clothes right behind me. Like, she wasn't going for that.
You'd be hanging out outside in Maryland. At least it'd probably be right. Like summer, you know. You'd be okay, you know, go down the shores.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so now you make the transition, and now you start your professional wrestling journey. And then you try out with Ring of Honor. Were you surprised that you got an opportunity with Ring of Honor when you did?
Honestly, I was very surprised because I don't know if I ever told you this. When I came to the seminar tryout, I was thinking the same way, and I hate to say this, I was thinking the same way a lot of guys who don't come to the tryout think. Well, I'm not going to get signed. Like, there's no way they're going to sign anybody for the tryout. My whole point of coming to the tryout was to learn. I mean, I was less than a year in when I came to the tryout. So in my mind, I was like, there's no way that anybody would find me. It's been 8 full years since I've been wrestling. You know, that's just been a full year since I've been training for wrestling. So there's no way they're going to find me. But what I am going to take out of this, I'm going to come to this camp and I'm going to learn from the guys that was training us, which I think in my trial it was Jay Lee, who was Briscoe, you was there, Steve Marino was there, and there he is, and Mark Truth, Martino was there. So I was like, man, this is over 40 years of experience and being featured and watching it, so I might as well go and see what I can learn. And you guys found. You guys saw in me what I didn't even see myself. You know, I didn't think I was that good of a wrestler. I just thought I was a big guy who could move a little bit in the ring, but I didn't think I was good by any chance. And you guys saw that in me, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you.
Yeah. You can't deny talent, and you have talent, and that's it. And I remember seeing your application. Because the applications come in, they forward them to me, I review everything, and the main thing that I really look for is experience. Well, you really didn't meet the experience threshold, but I read the whole thing, and I saw your NFL experience, and I saw who trained you. I was like, okay, trained by Curtis Hughes. This guy is no joke. He's a big, teachable, coachable athlete, and I'm sure that he knows the basics and the fundamentals. Because he's trained at WA4, and I think that is, you know, indicative. Let's give this guy a shot, and I'm really glad that we did. And again, you just trust your gut, and you just know, and we just trusted our gut, and that's it, and it's been right, and you haven't let us down not once.
Well, thank you, man. One thing I want to say about the seminar too, for a lot of the guys who are listening to this podcast. If you have $300 to spare, please go to the seminar. Don't. It's not, I mean, I hear this all the time, and people be like, oh, yeah, it's a work. They're not going to sign anybody. Well, look at me. I thought they wasn't going to sign me when I went there. And what happened 6 months later, or maybe a little bit more than 6 months, I think I came to the seminar in September and I got signed in June. So, I mean, it's definitely not a work. Definitely not a work.
Right, and all the while too, and it wasn't just okay. So now Quinn came to the camp. He did it once, and he's going to sit home and he's going to wait for the phone to ring. No, that's when you were like, "Hey, man, I'll come to every show. I'll drive anywhere."
Right.
Oh, and I was like, and you know this. We hear it from a lot of guys, Moose. Right, like a lot of guys say, oh, I'll be there. I'll see you soon. I'm going to be there at every show. And it's like, okay. And then you never see him again. Well, there you were at the next show. And then there you were. And not just like, we didn't run Atlanta. We were in Chicago, or we were in Detroit, or wherever it is that we were, Cincinnati, all over the place. Damn, Moose is everywhere. He's coming to these towns just like he said he would. And we give you a dark match shot here, an opportunity there. Sometimes you just hang out. Sometimes you just help out with ring crew.
Right.
Bro, I was like, that blew everybody away, because the way you were just so humble and you never expected anything.
Right, yeah, man. It's one of those things where if you want something, go chase it. And a lot of people talk great and say they want it, but their actions don't show that they want it. I'm a big believer. Want something, man, think the sacrifice, go chase it. And that's exactly what I did.
Okay, so talk to me quickly about John Abraham was in your corner in Atlanta. That was a wonderful night, a tremendous match, a big win over ACH. The unbeaten streak continues. What kind of night was Abraham having? Because when he got to the building, I didn't think he knew what it was all about. I think he was kind of being cool.
Tell me about him. For those who don't know, is one of my best friends, if not my best friend in life. He's one of the guys who, pretty much the only guy, only NFL friend that I still have and has supported me through this whole journey. When I asked him, we talk all the time, but I know in September, Abraham, he had a bunch of homecomings, like some 1 month event in Arizona, 1 month in Miami, 1 month in Atlanta. But he just happened to be in Atlanta and he called me. He's like, hey, what you doing at the best meeting? I was like, cool. I was like, hey, by the way, are you going to be here next week? And I have a Ring of Honor show in Atlanta. And we joked about it, and he joked about maybe coming into the ring and looking by his ass and getting involved. And I was like, man, I don't know about the whooping my ass part, but if you want to walk me down to the ring, I'm sure I can make that happen. And he jumped on it. So I called some of the guys. I called you, and you said that would make a problem. But Abraham, for those who don't know, it's not a big Dustin fan. I only think he, I think that might have been the first match he ever went to. But he loved it. He had a great time. And like you said, well, he first came to the building, he was kind of iffy about it. Cool and not knowing what to expect. But after the show, you should be quite excited and happy. And especially to see his boy that he played against each other.
I watched, as I'm calling that match at ringside, I'm looking over at Abraham and I'm seeing the expression on his face change, and he started to liven up. I think once he heard the music and he felt the people and he got inside the barricade, it was a different story. And about three quarters of the way through that match, I'm watching him and I'm watching him look at you, and he's got to be thinking, damn, this is fun. This guy's good. This is my friend.
Right, and it's funny you say that, because after the match, he came, he was talking, and he was like, dude, I knew you was nothing, but I didn't know you was this damn sick. I was like, oh, thanks, man, I appreciate it. Like, and it was like, man, I could tell, like, you work way, and he said this, which is just a testament in my eyes. Like, he was like, I could tell, it's like, you never worked this damn hard in football. And, yeah, so.
You were like, thanks, pal.
Yeah, right.
It John Abraham's a certain Hall of Famer. He retired this year at the NFL, and he's it was 10th active all time in sacks, and you know, was a first round pick of the Jets, and had been played a long time with the Falcons, and he had a great time there in Atlanta. But you know, you had a great time in Las Vegas. The winning streak continues. You beat Mark Briscoe. And I know there's been, you know, there's some chatter kind of about what's next for Moose with Ring of Honor. I mean, if you had any say in it, and I know you really don't, because you got good representation there with Veda and with Big Stoke helping you out. What's going on, and what do you want to do next in Ring of Honor?
That's easy. Well, basically, I beat Mark personally. Why not? I want to test myself again. Further, I mean, word on the street is Jay Briscoe has been lost his leader yesterday, Sandy Foster. Well,
yeah, he hasn't been beat. Yeah, Jay has not been. You haven't lost, he had lost.
Yeah, so I think let's make it happen. I mean, I beat up his brother, Mark. I'm sure I can beat him. I know he's great. He's one of the toughest guys I've seen. I'm a big fan of him. But I respect him, but I think I can beat him. So I know I can beat him. So let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. I would love to see that. I was just trying to sneak in the fact that, yeah, it has been over 2 years since Jay has been pinned. Nobody's been able to pin his shoulders to the mat or make him submit. Moose unbeaten in Ring of Honor. And just recently beat Jay's brother Mark. So that would be very interesting. We will see what happens. But you're heading out to California this weekend for Supercard of Honor.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. It's my first time back in Cali when I was the Patriot, and we played San Diego, so I'm excited to go back. I love Cali, the weather's amazing. Even though I'm not going to have time to visit places and go around, I mean, straight business, like get down to Cali. And I wonder who is going to be the ring with me this time that helped me stand my street.
Well, we'll find out. That's that, of course, is this coming Saturday night on the 27th. On top is the world championship between Jay Briscoe and Samoa Joe. Jay Lethal defends the world television championship against the legend Jushin Thunder Liger. And we will see what happens this weekend at Supercard of Honor. Or excuse me, that's Friday night, the 27th. And you'll be able to see that at ROHWrestling.com/IPPV. You'll be able to see that early part of next week. Moose, I want to thank you for your time. I know it's been a long, exhausting day coming back from Philadelphia to Atlanta, but I'm very proud of you, and I look forward to seeing the heights to which your career goes. You've never disappointed me. I know you never will, and I just want to say congratulations on all your success and everything that's to come down the road for you.
Kevin, thank you a lot, man. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for
all right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. You can catch up on all the archived episodes by subscribing to the Kevin Kelly Show on iTunes or visiting the Kevin Kelly page on placetobenation.com. We're working on getting Matt Taven as a future guest. We'll have more Ring of Honor stars on as guests as well. But I do want to thank our guest Moose this week. He was great and fantastic. Moose and all the stars of Ring of Honor, part of huge Supercard of Honor this Friday night, the 27th. And while the event is sold out live, fans will be able to see it the following week on ROHWrestling.com, plus a special Supercard of Honor showcase edition of Ring of Honor Wrestling Television will be on the week of April 11th. So that does it for this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. Back in a couple of weeks, JR, my producer, with a couple of sleeping kids on him, and the daddy work is never done. But thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Kevin Kelly Show, found on the Place to Be Nation, the website home, placetobenation.com.
Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.